Well, we are back to We Are the Church, which is this mini series that we started just a few weeks ago in the middle of January. And it's to remind ourselves that church is not a building, it is me and you. And even though I'm pointing to a camera, I know there's some people behind the camera. And even though you're looking at the screen, you know you're looking at me, hopefully. Come on, you are. And we are the church, which means everywhere we go, we bring the presence and power of God. And we've got to remind ourselves of that. Otherwise, we can default into that it's just a building or you don't count and everybody else does. And we negate ourselves, we forget ourselves, and we become complacent on what we're called to do. But we are the body of Christ. We are the church. We are the team. There's nobody else coming. It is me and you. We have one life to live. Let's live it in service to each other and service to the King. And today we're going to talk about service and the power of service. But I wonder if you ever had this thought that was flashed before your eyes. Do you want to be great? Or have you ever thought about being great? Have you ever watched one of those sports and someone achieves something and everybody says it's the greatest of all time? We do it with boxers, we do it with runners, we do it with footballers. We saw Messi win the World Cup and then we begin to say that just proves it. He is the greatest of all time. We try to do this all the time. We've got a fascination with greatness. Singers, actors, dancers, friends. We just have a fascination with greatness. I want to be great. And here's what I want to say is, to be great, to be significant, to be seen, to be known, it's actually a good thing. In fact, I'll say it's actually a God thing. The only scenario that comes down, or the only thing that counts is, what do you want to be great for? What's the why behind this whole thing? What's the why behind your desire to be great? For many of us, it will be a false desire that we've taken as true. But for others, we've just twisted this whole thing right. You ever notice how Christians, you'd say to them, hey, do you want to do anything great? They go, yeah, I want to do great things for God. And you're like, well, no, if you do great things for God, that means you're going to be great. Could you imagine that God would ever come to you and say, hey, I want you to do great things for me, but I'm just going to make you not great. You know, like his desire, like any good dad, and he's so much better than any other good dad, is that I want you to do great things. Like before my kids were born, and while they have been born, I've got four kids and I'm like crazy, I know. But I pray the whole time, Lord, world changers, history makers. They're going to set the world ablaze. They're going to come to know you at a young age. I just declared this stuff over them all the time. Even now, Aria, who is four, who I cannot get to stay in her own bed half the time. When I carry her back to her bed at night and I'm trying to go tiptoe because I don't want her to wake up. Many times she does, and I lie beside her for one moment and then I try to slip away. But the habit I've built in is when I carry her back to bed, I'm like, this girl's incredible. This girl's a world changer. This girl is going to shake the kingdom of darkness. This girl's going to live for Christ. I am preaching, I am praying, I am prophesying greatness into her soul because each one of us have been predestined for greatness. You don't know this. But the difference is, it's not greatness like what the world describes. It's greatness for God. And today we're going to look at it. What is it to be great? You're going to find it by Mark chapter 10, where Peter came to Jesus and he said to him with his friend John, he said, Jesus, we want to be great. And Jesus said, I admire your idea to be great. You've just put it in the wrong place. And so today we're going to look at it in the right place and in the right context. And I hope and pray that we're going to be challenged to say, right, I'm ready to be great. I'm going after this greatness thing. This is what I'm going for. I'm not going to be self-effacing. I'm not going to be that false humility thing. I'm not going to be like, oh, no, I'm a Christian. And then when you're not a Christian in a sense, you're somewhere else like, I want to be the winner. I want to be great. I want to be the come on, you got to be you. Be real. Come on, what's going on in you? And then we do have this fear, and we got to address it, is we've got a fear of weakness. Because we've been preconditioned that weakness and failure are the worst things on the planet. And yet, what does the word say? In my weakness, he makes me strong. His perfect presence, his power is made perfect in my weakness. The Bible's full of it. Whenever you go low, he goes high. Whenever you go here, it's incredible what God says about weakness. It's no big deal to him, and greatness is something that we should desire and go after. So it's God-given. And one day along the way of Jesus being on this earth, he finds some of his guys came to him. He says, hey, Jesus, we want to be great. And here's how the story goes in Mark chapter 10, verse 33. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, or the sons of thunder, came over and spoke to him. Said, teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. I kind of like this. You know, you're like, oh, we should never ask Jesus to do you a favor. No. Like even the other week I was chatting to someone and they're like, can you ask Jesus for the things you want? I'm like, have you read the scripture that says he gives you the desires of your heart? And you're going, I know, but that's going to be God's desires heart. Come on, stop tripping ourselves up with this. Take the word as it is. He wants you to do great things for the kingdom of God. We just have to define what that looks like. We just have to define. Does he want you to be rich and famous? Maybe not. If that happens for the kingdom of God, so be it. But that's not the greatness that we're talking about. Does that mean he won't suffer? No. Again, we're going to define it. So stick with us today, because God's going to bring something out that I believe can challenge and encourage each and every one of us. So they boldly ask, Jesus, do us a favor. And I love his response. What is your request? He didn't go, you cheeky guys, you shouldn't do it. He didn't go, he says, what's your request? I think in some ways he kind of liked it. He kind of liked it because so many people are riddled with insecurity and false humility that he probably turned around and goes, I kind of like it. Something's rubbing off of me onto them, because we're not to be insecure. We're not to be full of false humility. We're to be full of Jesus. And this is the heart of God. Verse 37, they replied, we want to sit on your glorious throne. When you go to sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in the place of honor next to you. I mean, come on, this is great, isn't it? One on your right and the other on your left. It sounds amazing. In fact, it would be amazing. It is incredible. But I want you to notice just for a moment what Jesus is going to do. And here's where we got to pause and just start to ask ourselves a few questions. For Peter and John, they had a definition of greatness which was great different than Jesus. And he's going to confirm that in just a few verses' time. In fact, let's read it right now. He says, you don't know, in verse 38, what you're asking for. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering, which I will be baptized with? And you're going, whoa, Jesus, no, this is not what we signed up for. This is not what we signed up for. Because realistically, for Peter and James, this is what they thought greatness in the kingdom of God was. Position, power, authority. Sounds pretty awesome. We're close to Jesus. We'll get the power. We'll be able to wipe out demons. And we'll get authority just to speak, and things will happen, just like Jesus did with Jairus' daughter and all the way through the New Testament. They were getting excited. But what does Jesus show us? He says, actually, no. The kingdom of God will be about suffering in terms of greatness. It will be about his will, and it will be about self-sacrifice. And this is what we see all the way through Jesus' life, perfectly demonstrated on the cross. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. When he talked to God in the Gethsemane, when he was like, I'm sweating drops of blood here. I'm suffering, God. I feel the pressure. I feel the pain. I know what my focus is. I know what I'm called to do. But God, if there's any other way, we see suffering. We see self-sacrifice ultimately on the cross, and we see, God, I'm not here for me, I'm here for you. This is the pathway of greatness. This is not what the early disciples were hoping for. I know which one I want more. And why not? Because there's something great about the money. There's something great about the position. There's something great about the fame. There's something great about being significant and everybody knows us. And there's something really nice about all of that. And there's something really great, but there's a better twist on it. And it either comes out in the end or the middle, but it comes out, because have you ever noticed the money doesn't guarantee happiness or the pursuit of it? In fact, many people are not happy. I'm not saying you can't do without money, but the Bible is very clear that the love of money is the root of all evil. It is not the secret to our success. It will be a tool to get us places, but it will not be the be all and end all. When it comes to power, every power in history has fallen and become corrupted. Because power on power is a bad recipe. Without love in there, without God in there, without grace in there, we start to get puffed up. We start to think too much about ourselves. We're going to extremes, but we're going to look at our own hearts in just a moment. And then the fame, well, we see it better than ever. Fame can be canceled with a click. You know what I'm saying? It can be canceled with a click. I mean, you might be famous in your work. You might be famous in online. You might be famous somewhere else. But if it goes wrong for one moment, or you say the wrong, or there's a sound bite that's wrong, or a look that's not correct, or you wear the wrong thing. I remember years ago, I thought I was kind of famous. I went to the high school. My mom was a teacher there. And I couldn't believe it. The guys were like, whoa, your mom's a teacher in the school. Like, you know, I felt famous for a day or two. And then guess what? Everybody else was getting DM boots. And my mom used to go to Marks & Spencer's, and I saw these DM boots in Marks & Spencer's, so we bought them. But guess what? The next day, the guys looked at me and goes, what are those? And I was all chuffed because I got myself DM boots. This is awesome. And they goes, and one guy even bent down, picked up my trouser leg and had a leg. He goes, nah, didn't think it were. They were fixed. He said, they are not real DM boots. But for me, they were awesome DM boots. They were half the price. I didn't really know what DM boots were. I just thought they looked like everybody else. They're doing me really good. They're keeping my feet dry. It's going to be awesome. And I'm famous. And in that moment, my fame disappeared. This is how quick fame disappears. And it's fleeting. It flies. And it can go with the click of a button. So why are we disillusioned by it? Why are we caught up with it? It's a lie that beats many of us over and over and over and over again. Because the way to greatness in the kingdom of God is service. And yet how many times have we either used the excuse or we've heard the excuse from somebody else or we've believed it ourselves that I'm too busy to serve, that I'm too busy to spend time with God, that I'm too busy for this, I'm too busy for that. Why? Because I'm in a pursuit of money, I'm in pursuit of success, I'm in pursuit of fame, I'm in pursuit of some sort of crazy thing. Like I remember one of the guys years ago came to me and says, yeah, I'm going to be a big deal on YouTube. I'm going to be an online gamer. I'm like, how's that going now? Don't bring it up. It's like, we get sucked into the lie of this is the way to go. This is the path. This is the idea. And it doesn't bring us any success. And it never has. Because the way of the kingdom is not that. The way of the kingdom and greatness in the kingdom is suffering. A lot of suffering. It's about His will. It's about self-sacrifice. It's about serving the people around us. And yet inside of us, somewhere written on our hearts and even written on our minds and our heads and our words itself, it says, I must be successful. And we know what we mean when we say that. And yet for Jesus, was He not the greatest that ever lived? Was He, if He was the greatest, then technically He's the most successful ever lived. He lived the best life ever. He died the perfect death. And we see none of this in His life to any degree. And yet we fall for it over and over and over again. And so maybe today what God's saying is, I need to rewrite your thinking. Those neural pathways, those thoughts, those ideas, those preconditioned concepts and words that you just come out with like before you even know it. And I need to change you by renewing your mind in the Word of God to get you to see something different. You see, the perfect one in history, He loved to serve. And that's where our secret is. Goes on to say, are you able to be baptized? Are you able to drink this cup? I mean, I love this thought that Jesus mentions a cup, which one day we would drink a cup, which would be the cup of communion. And when His was bitter, ours is sweet. Because it may be juice that you drink, but it's not just about the taste, it's about the timing. It's sweet because He's already conquered sin. He's already conquered the grave. He's already been fully resurrected. The way of the kingdom was service. And as He served, He transformed everything. Darkness could not stand against Him. Sin could just not stand against Him. The powers of this world could not stand against Him. The people of this world could not stand against Him. He reigns victorious forevermore. What are we missing in this picture? Don't be deceived. Don't be waylaid. Don't be led down the garden path. The fascination of your life is not to be successful or have money and fame and power. It is to follow the ways of God and to simply serve. Wow. Imagine in 2023, this became our obsession. I want to serve. I want to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. It all rooted in love. Verse 39, they replied and they goes, oh yes, we're able to do it. You know, sometimes we're over enthusiastic. Sometimes we're just ready for this thing. Then Jesus said, you will indeed drink my bitter cup and be baptized in my baptism of suffering. Jesus talking about His death. And of course, ironically, James was going to be the first martyr beheaded by, was it Herod Agrippa? And of course, John was going to be persecuted his whole life and then eventually exiled onto the island of Patmos. Just not very glamorous. Wouldn't make Instagram good. You know what I mean? Wouldn't build up a YouTube channel. I mean, you're on an island, there's no signal. And yet they're remembered in history forever. The most read book, pretty much the first book ever printed, it was the book that will forever change your life, and their names are right there. What is it we want? What if we're going after the wrong thing? What if we're being deceived around the wrong things? And service is the way of the kingdom. Come on, this is what the Lord is showing us. Verse 40, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God, on my left, God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. I think this is such an important verse, guys. So many times people get bent out of shape, get angry, get mad, leave churches, because I'm thinking about church, because we're talking about we're the church, and they leave us, or you leave them, or I've had a tendency, or maybe you've had a tendency, or you've thought it, or you did it, or you wanted to, because you didn't get the promotion. You didn't get the promotion you felt you deserved. And I want you to see just how flawed that thinking is in comparison to the word. Jesus himself said, you think it's me that will put you in that place. It won't be. God has prepared those places and he's the one that is chosen. See, the way of the kingdom is this. We don't serve to get, we serve out of love. And we serve to give. Remember, the idea of Jesus is always to give. Always to give, always to give. We live in a world that's always to get, it's always to get. And even when we give, it's about getting. But Jesus lived in a world and Jesus brought a kingdom that says it's never about receiving. It's always about giving. Don't worry about that. The flow that comes into you, hold on to it, steward it well, and let it flow from you. And you don't think of any return from them. Your good Father, your heavenly Father in heaven will provide all of your needs. We get it so twisted, but this is the way of the kingdom. Verse 41, when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John were asked, they were indignant. They were crazy. They were like, come on, this is not right. So Jesus called them together and said, you know the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But this is not the way I am. But among you, we're going to be different. Verse 43. Come on, church, let's speak a better word into our hearts. Among us, we will be different. And this is how we will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first among you must be a slave to everybody else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. These verses are loaded, and we're going to dissect them just for a moment. Look at this first one. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. A servant? What's Jesus trying to show us? The servant that you despise, the servant that you would never want to be, is actually the greatest in the room. Why? Because they look like me. And what's the goal of our lives? To become more Christ-like. Guys, come on. This is the heart of God. We don't want to get it twisted anywhere else. It's to become like him. Who looks more like Jesus in the room? The guy on the throne, the guy running the place, the guy with the money, the guy with the car, or the servant who's serving everybody else? It's the servant. Who wants to be the greatest becomes the servant. Verse 44, he takes another step. Whoever wants to be the first among you, the greatest, whoever wants to be the first must be a slave to everybody else. If you want to be me, you got to lay your life down. And remember, don't, again, slavery in this context, in this world, was not a nice thing. It was far more prevalent. It was far more in your face. It was far more everybody had it than it is today. I know there are parts of the world that still have slavery and it's hidden or it's up front. But here, this is in their world. It was up front and it was awesome if you had a slave. I mean, it showed wealth. It showed sophistication. But what has Jesus said? If you, nobody wanted to be a slave, but whoever wants to be the first, wants to be the greatest, must become a slave of their own desire. And become a blessing or a slave to everybody else. Isn't this what Jesus did? He was taken like a lamb to the slaughter. He laid down his life. He gave his life over to the people. I mean, he didn't shout for no angels. He didn't turn his back on us. He didn't call or get out of town quick. He didn't give up. He didn't second guess it. He didn't look for an escape. He went to the cross for us because of love. And love's best seen through service. It's incredible. And the love of God is in your heart, and it's going to be best seen, not by you just this wee thing or that wee thing, but serving and laying your life down and looking for every opportunity to serve and looking for every opportunity to be a blessing and looking for every opportunity to help and affect and be a blessing to the people's lives around you. Not just doing it because you have to, or not just ticking a box, or not just doing the bare minimum, but being a servant, because then everything's going to change, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to be a servant, but to be a servant to others and to serve others. And he gave his life as a ransom for many. That word many in the Hebrew is just their way of saying everyone. They just say it a slightly different way to us, but we just translate it as everyone. Otherwise we get waylaid or misunderstand for a tiny bit. But notice ransom. If you get taken hostage, there's only one way to get that hostage back. you got to pay the ransom. Our lives were taken hostage from the Garden of Eden through Satan himself, through the power of sin. Our lives were being held ransom. There was no escape for us. It didn't matter what we did. We had no way out. And then Jesus came and he didn't send a ransom. He didn't get somebody else to pay it. He didn't find it somewhere else. He laid his own life down because the way to set us free was to serve us. The way to set our cities free is to serve them. The way to set your life free is to follow the way of the kingdom and serve. And it looked like suffering, and it looked like heartache and pain at times, and it looked lonely at times, and you'll be unrecognized at times, and it will look like doing his will above your own will, and it will look like sacrificing at every level. And yet what Jesus says, in the midst of that, you'll begin to rise. In the midst of that, you'll be able to start to rise up. Maybe some of those emotional things you've got going on begin to disappear. Maybe some of the heartache and pain you've got internally begins to disappear. What if the perspective comes that you need to help you to get the right perspective, to talk differently, to act differently? And yet the promise of God is, even if you don't get what you deserve here, even if you don't get the blessing or the reward in a sense for your dedication and hard work here in service to the people, you will certainly get it there. I don't know why I'm pointing up, but sometimes we think I have it up, but there, you'll get it there. There will be nothing that's wasted. You see, if we go the way of the world and we go after greatness in the world, then you're going to find that it could be wasted. It could be taken from you. You could get sick. You could lose it. You could be canceled. You could be this. You could be that. You don't necessarily get what you deserve. But in the kingdom of God, guess what? You lay down your life. You give up all that you have. You serve with love and with your spirit and with the grace that God has put on you. And guess what? You lay up treasures in heaven that no one can take from you. And your reward will be great. And your seed will be blessed. And your family will be blessed. And our cities begin to turn around. High love, service. To begin to serve and love our community. See, God has an incredible plan, and he paid the ransom once and for all, but there are silly things that go on in our world, and right now the best way to do it is to serve. Come on, who can you serve this week? Stop worrying about what you can get out of it. That's the world's idea of service. I serve to get, but the way of the kingdom is I serve to give. And my God supplies all of my needs. Amen. Come on, if you're at home or you're watching somewhere, start going hallelujah. Come on. This is to encourage your heart. Do not be deceived. I don't serve to get something from you. I serve to be a blessing. And my Father in heaven, the one who loves me unconditionally, provides all that I need and more, because he's a great rewarder. He's a wonderful rewarder. You see, to love is to serve. God's plan is perfect, and he decided in all his wisdom that I want the picture of every Christian to be one that you're hidden in me and you're connected to a body. And it's not about individualism, and it's not about one competing against the other. It's about together winning. It's about together serving. It's about together overcoming the ways of the enemy and keeping the gates open so that people can continue to come in, and the body gets larger and larger and larger until the city's completely saved, until the area's completely saved, until the island's completely saved, until the nation's completely saved. This is the deepest desire that God has, that all should be saved, and it will be worked through acts of service and radical thoughts and words of love through the believers of Christ. Come on, church, this is who we are. Service is always practical. I don't know how you would do service and it wouldn't become practical. It's got to do something. There's got to be a cost to it. There's got to be a sacrifice to it. There's got to be a laying down to it. It's got to look like something. To serve, to help, to love, you describe it whichever way you want, but as long as it gets somewhere. And where can you do it? Everywhere. Do it everywhere you can. Do it in your workplace. Come on, do it in your workplace and you'll transform your workplace. Do it with your boss and you'll transform your boss. You'll get all that you need and more. And if you don't, there's no better way to bless than to serve. Do it in your family. Don't forget to serve in your family. You got to serve in your family with all your heart, because the Lord is upon that and he has called you and he's placed you in your family. And serve in the body of Christ. Serve in your church in the sense of it with the body of Christ. Serve each other. Be there for each other, like we see in the book of Acts chapter 2. Serving will bring joy and it will bring life that you cannot imagine or think or believe, but you'll feel it and you'll know it and you'll live in it. You don't need to be perfect. Can I finish with a couple more thoughts today? You don't need to be perfect. If I had a penny or a pound, gosh, we'd have Project Possible nearly done. But for the mighty people that come, and have you noticed that people begin to serve. Don't let this be you. And sometimes we begin to serve, and then a problem begins to happen in our lives, and we're fine to go to work, and we're fine to keep doing this, and we're fine to go shopping, and we're fine to go to the gym. But the first thing that starts to move is, I can't serve in church anymore. And you know what I mean by church. I can't serve with the body of Christ anymore. I'm just not good enough, or I'm just not in the right place, or I'm just not feeling it. And you're like, really? Really? Isn't it interesting how the enemy has deceived us that the first place that we begin to take away is our act of service? It wouldn't be the workplace. It wouldn't be our relationships. It wouldn't be the gym. It wouldn't be our money. It wouldn't be anything else. It would be our acts of service to the body of Christ, to the Lord himself. Watch how the enemy just loves to undermine some things. Because deep inside of our heads, we've got this idea that I've got to be perfect. Because remember, to be great, it's all about how good you are. You're comparing yourself to everybody else. And I've noticed my life not comparing good anymore, so therefore I'm not good enough to help. I'm not good enough to serve. That's a worldly mentality, and it's infiltrated us as Christians. Let's remove it in Jesus' name. Let's speak words of love over our hearts, that you are perfect in your weakness, that his love is made perfect in your weakness, that he has made you just the way you are, and that he doesn't tolerate sin, and we're to deal with our sin, but we're to go forward in faith. And as we stumble and fall, allow the body of Christ to lift you up. The last place that we leave, the last thing that we do is stop serving the Lord. That's the last thing to go. But for many of us, it can be the first thing to move. I want to encourage you, it's not about being perfect. You never have been perfect. You never will on this planet. It will only be when we get to the new heaven and new earth. And then we'll be perfect in all of our ways. Don't allow comparison and competition to creep in and say you're not good enough. Please don't let it undermine you. So what's our challenge as we go forward? Our challenge is, I'm not going to be this or that. I'm not going to be lured in with success. I'm not going to be distracted to this thing or that thing. I'm going to manage my time. In fact, here's what I'm going to encourage you with. I want to encourage you to look at the life of Jesus. He seemed to live this incredible life where he had his own needs met, but he was all about meeting the needs of everybody else. He didn't seem to be concerned with the things that we're concerned about. He still lived in the real world. He still breathed the same air. He still was on the terra firma. He was still on this planet, and yet he seemed to live differently. And really what the Lord is saying to each and every one of us through the Holy Spirit is, if you would take a leaf out of his book, if you would focus on the way he lived, you would start to see that your life is able to do this more than you think. See, one of the biggest challenges that we have is that I just got no time to serve. If I just had some time, I would serve the body of Christ. I would serve in my work. I would serve here. But actually, we do have the time. We've just been distracted into something else that says, I've got to be successful. I've got to provide. I've got to sort it all myself. And yet Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Serve the people of God. Love them with all your heart. Love them better than you love yourself. Love them as you love the Lord. And watch how he will add. I'm mashing a couple of verses together because I'm trying to get the point into your heart that he will supply all of your needs. Whether it be Abraham and Isaac or it be me and you in 2023, he will supply all my needs. What's my call? To serve the world around him. The perfect example that Jesus left was, he said, I haven't called to be served. I've come to serve. What a mantra for our lives. What a commission for us. As we go into all the world, we serve. As we go into our workplace, we serve. As we go to tell people about Jesus, we serve. You can't do it any other way. We serve with our hands. We serve with our hearts. We serve with our feet. We serve with the things that we have. Everything we have is to allow us to serve. Come on, praise the Lord. And where are we going to start? Well, we need to start. And so my challenge today is this. Are you serving in your local body of Christ? Are you serving in your workplace in some small shape or form? Are you serving in your family? Come on, step it up. You've got what it takes. I want to encourage you. The power of God is upon you. There are so many things. I'm telling you this. What does the word say? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It's a service problem. And if it's a service problem, it's a heart thing, because service always comes from the heart. And if it's a heart thing, then it's a secret place thing. I want to say to you, we just did 21 days of prayer and fasting. What we kind of did was we yanked open the door of the secret place. And now it's you that needs to get in there through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that the fast is over, use what has been gained. Use what's open. Use the momentum that the Lord has charged us with. Get into the secret place, whether it be 15, 20 minutes in the morning, and turn that dedication and commitment and discipleship, or just being disciplined, and watch how it turns into devotion. And watch how as that devotion comes, your heart begins to grow for the things of God. And out of it, service will naturally flow. And it won't be if you like them or not. And it won't be if they deserve it or not. And it won't be if you feel good enough or not. You will simply leak service. You will leak love because of what the Lord will have done in your life. Come on, guys, let's get into the secret place. And if you're not part of a team, I want to tell you, the vision that God's put in our lives is to transform this city. If you're about in the city or you want to do some stuff for us online, then get in touch. We are here to serve the kingdom of God, and we're here to do incredible things for God. Come on, we're going to pray today. I've just had so much fun, and I know the Lord wants to continue to touch your heart. I believe that the Holy Spirit is upon you, and He's just removing all the lies of this world to give you the power of His word so that you can flow in the things of the Spirit. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. And I pray again for anyone that doesn't know you or far from you, they're coming home in Jesus' name. The word of God says we simply say yes to him. He receives that yes. He takes away our sins. He gives us a brand new start, and he enables us through his power to follow him. If you need that today, guys, please say yes. Search your heart. Let the Lord search your heart. Don't hold back any longer. Don't let this day go because it's too important. Say yes to him. And Lord, if we are Christians and we know you, then we simply say, Holy Spirit, come. We are a people of power. We are a people united together, and we're here to serve the things of God. Lord, keep moving us forward. Keep putting our hands to work. Keep our hearts connected to you, and let it all flow from love. And I know as we serve, you will supply all of our needs. Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.